Ever tried reading while jogging, cooking, or even juggling flaming torches? Yeah, doesn't end well. But with audiobooks.com, you can conquer books without the circus act. Dive into over 450,000 titles, including more than 10,000 free ones. Get hooked on a bestseller, find your next obsession, or finally read that classic you've been avoiding since high school. And here's the inside scoop. Sign up today for a free 30-day trial and snag your first three audiobooks on the house. Sign up for your free trial at audiobooks.com/podcastfree today. That's audiobooks.com/podcastfree.
Welcome to Fish Nerds Podcast, where we talk about fish, fishing, and eating fish. I am Dave Kellum.
And I'm Clay Groves. Together we talk about the fishy stuff that happened to us, people we know, and other fish nerds we've seen. Anything is fair game, and is usually true.
We are going to talk today about Clay's 00 Groves story, our Fish in the News segment. Todd Donovan, a friend of ours, who is on his own quest, is going to be talking about opening day, which was this last weekend here in New Hampshire. And then I'm going to talk about the herring returning to Exeter.
Yay, herring!
Yay! updates to our fishing quest and highlights of fishnerds.com. We added something. So, Clay, what's up with 00 Groves?
All right, well, here's the thing. So, anybody who's married knows you have to spend time with your wife. It's important. And being a nerdy guy, and my wife's kind of nerdy too, we decided to watch a James Bond movie, and we thought, well, let's make a meal that matches up with the movie we're going to watch.
Extremely nerdy. Okay, got
extremely
it.
Nerdy. So we did a little Google search, and in our search, we found the creator of – I almost said Austin Powers. The creator of James Bond
was a huge
fan of Eggs Benedict. And he tried to work all the stories he wrote into James Bond eating Eggs Benedict. I've never witnessed this. I have no idea if it's true. But the gods of Google have said it, and it must be true because Google never lies. So I decided to kind of work that a little bit with a pan-seared Atlantic salmon with fresh asparagus and the salmon topped with poached eggs, hollandaise sauce on everything. And it was hands down the best salmon I've ever eaten.
Nice.
The only problem was we also made martinis.
And did you put hollandaise sauce in that?
No, but we probably should have. I've never had a martini that, like, made appropriately. I guess it's just alcohol.
Now, did you shake it and not stir?
Maybe that's how I screwed it up. I stirred it.
Okay.
Either way, it tasted like a big glass of vodka. So. I should probably tell you too, we had only one martini glass in the house, so I had mine in a water glass. So
yeah, that was probably probably.
But I don't think it made any difference. So.
All right.
But either way, if you've never had pan-seared Atlantic salmon topped with poached eggs and hollandaise sauce and some fresh asparagus, do it. Make it. It's super duper easy, and you'll be a cooking hero.
Now, did you post that on fishnerds.com?
I will.
Yes, that sounds like a good idea.
I'll put the whole recipe up, and it's super easy to do.
Awesome.
Yeah. So.
So very good. Who knew that about Ian Fleming and Eggs Benny?
And you know, it's probably not true. But who knows?
It makes for a good story.
It doesn't matter. Either way, it got me to eat something I never had before, so that's a win.
That is a win. On the subject of maybe true, who knows, the science section of NBC News today ran a story that said fish are using sign language.
Awesome. Because we all know that with – is it American Sign Language?
I don't know.
Like, do they have thumbs?
I don't think so. These are Mediterranean, Red Sea, so no, it must not be American.
See, that's why. Americans are always so backwards using our thumbs for sign language. So
yeah, I know. Yeah, so this is sign language. According to this, two types of fish have been shown to use gestures or sign language to help one another hunt. This is the first time these types of gestures have been found to occur in animals other than primates and ravens. So, you know, this was interesting, and I was thinking, oh, well, sign language, that's good. You know, and you know, do they have little translators that kind of go with them, you know?
Like a little hermit crab on their back going, oh, that means turn left. He's saying hello. Say hello back.
Exactly. These little interpreters. I don't know. So then I read further, and it says one's a grouper and one's a coral trout, which I have no idea what a coral trout is.
Yeah, but I'm not surprised about the grouper.
Yeah, why not?
All attitude, man. Talk to the fin.
Well, apparently these grouper in the Red Sea hunt with giant moray eels. That's their
like friends.
They're friends.
That's sweet. Someone's writing a Disney story.
Someone is. And then a fish, a Napoleon Rassi, is partnered up with the coral trout. Okay.
I don't know what that means.
Coral trout is teamed up with the octopus. Wow. So, I don't know where the Napoleon Rassi comes into this.
I'm pretty sure an octopus is not a fish.
That's true. That's true. According to these scientists, which sounds like they got a kind of a cheesy grant, they said they found the fish are able to point their heads towards the prey. That's it.
That's it?
That's
Isn't
it.
Isn't that what anything hunting does?
I would think so. But, you know, they did this months and months of research, and they see where these grouper basically go, hey, 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 there's something here, hey.
I need a new job. That's awesome.
And then the eel or the octopus just follows it, and because the eel and the octopus can get into the holes that the other fish can't.
And I assume they share the fish.
Well, that's unclear, but I think the fish freaks out that gets trapped and either gets eaten by the eel or eaten by the grouper. So either it pops out of the hole, and the grouper eats it, or it stays in the hole and the eel eats it.
We got to find some funding. There's got to be something we can do.
I know, but anyway, so that's the big fish news. Is that
news.
The headline is fish are using sign language and they're basically pointing with their heads where there's food, and then their hunting partner comes over and it seems to me that it's the hunting partner that has all the smarts in this operation.
They just wait for the fish to point at the food, and then they go get it.
Yeah, exactly.
Now, yeah, it's interesting that just those animals are the only ones that communicate. My dog does a pretty good job of communicating. But they didn't list that as one of the animals that communicate. So
no, it's a primate or a raven. So
Yeah,
like I said, I'm not sure, but NBC News, you know, they it's got to be right, right?
Someone got paid.
Someone got paid. All right, so that's our fish in the news. Now we're going to try something we've never tried before.
Call in time.
This may or may not work.
I hope it works.
I hope it does too. So I'm going to give this a try.
All right. While Dave is dialing, he's calling Todd Donovan from New Hampshire Trout Undiscovered. Todd's on a quest to fish all the remote trout ponds in New Hampshire, and he's going to talk about the opening day of trout fishing and teaching his kid to use a float tube in April, which is my wife would be upset if it was me doing that. Just saying.
All right. I think I have the right number. Let's give it a try.
Give it a go.
You say hello, okay?
Okay. Hello.
Wait, no, it's not.
Oh, you got to dial it first.
Okay, he could answer at any time.
I hear it ringing. This is so exciting.
I know.
I hope he's home.
Hello.
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 Hey, Todd, it's Clay from Fish Nerds.
And how are you?
Good, how are you?
Hi, Dave.
Hi, Todd. You are our first call-in person, or call—I guess not call-in, call-out, or what have you. You're the first guest on podcast, Fish Nerds.
Yay!
Podcast. Congratulations!
Wow, we need some sound.
Well, let's see if we can work out some details here.
Yeah. Well, that's exactly what we're doing. We're you're our guinea pig, so it's awesome. The show's going great, just so you know. So
good.
So don't screw it up. Okay.
It's
going to ruin everything.
So, opening day on trout season.
Yes, it was a beautiful day. It was better than last year, that's for sure, weather-wise.
But last year we had earlier ice out, right?
I think we did, but the weather wasn't that great that day, I don't believe.
Okay.
But this time the weather was beautiful.
What pond did you go to?
We went to Butterfield Pond in Wilmot.
I don't know where that is.
Yeah, it's right off of Route 4A, and it's a short hike in, just a half a mile, and it's very easy for the kids to do.
And did you hike in with tons of gear, float tubes, boats, canoes?
We just hiked in with our waders.
Waders and fly rods?
Waders and spin casters. I brought my fly rod.
Of course.
And I let the boys drown some worms. And we didn't catch anything.
Now, what's funny about that, and Todd and I have been fishing a number of times together, all as part of our quest to catch all the fish in New Hampshire, and he's keeps showing up to fish with me. And both of us, on our own, catch fish. Together, we've never caught a fish.
Not together.
Not together.
Well, I knew it was going to be this kind of story when you started with the weather. You're like, how was your day? Well, the weather, I'm saying.
Yeah, you know, I think the water was just a little bit too cold. And for a remote trout pond, it's not that remote. It's only a half a mile in. But it was pretty busy there. There were about, I'd say, 8 to 10 people on that little pond.
Wow.
Mainly with canoes. And one guy had a little rowboat in there. So people are going to great lengths to try to keep those ponds as remote as possible, but they bring in their own canoes. They lock them up. But it's such a short hike that people can get into that pond very quickly.
Wow. And this is part of your quest or not part of your quest?
It is part of the quest. Our goal is... Well, it's basically, my title is One New Hampshire Dad's Quest to Fish Remote Ponds with His Youngest Boys.
Nice.
Yeah, so screw the older kids.
The older kids.
Well, I've already screwed them over. I ruined their fishing experience. I was not a very patient dad. I was very, very uptight, and I'd never, it was my first kid.
You realize if you screw this up, you're going to have more kids.
No, the shop's closed.
I understand. Yeah, well, good luck with this. So how's it been going?
It's been going very well. We went to Butterfield again today and caught 3 trout.
Yay!
Yes.
Yeah, from the float tubes.
Oh, nice. Daddy, did you keep any of the trout?
Yeah, we ate them for lunch.
Oh.
Yeah, nice 3 eastern brook trout. And supposedly there's some rainbows in there, so we're hoping that we could pick up a rainbow trout or two. And then our next adventure will be Lonesome Lake up in Lincoln, up at Lafayette State Park, and campground, which is in Franconia Notch, and that's a little bit more difficult of a hike, but I think we can do it just fine.
And, give me a call; I'll come with you.
Yeah, absolutely. That sounds good.
All right.
I guarantee you failure.
Well, if we just sit there and the water was a bit cold today, but you put on some good thermal underwear and some nice warm wool socks, and you'll be just fine.
Wow. That's awesome. Well, if I end up fishing together, I hope you break the drought spell of you two failing every time you're fishing together. And that's awesome. So, Todd, thank you so much for the first Fish Nerds Correspondent Report. So thanks again.
Nothing nerdier than a fishing quest, so nice job.
That's
that
awesome.
Sounds great.
All right. Well, hey, thanks a lot, Todd.
See you,
Todd. Thank you. You guys take care.
Yep. All thanks. Righty. Yep. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
All right. So that
worked.
That worked. Well. I know. Worked very well. All right.
We win. Speaking of winning, Dave, let's talk a little bit about the herring returning to Exeter and this ghost of a person you know called River Jim.
River Jim. So I moved to Exeter maybe 7 years ago, 7 or 8 years ago, Exeter to New Hampshire, and the Squamscott River comes up from Great Bay. And the river herring, which are L-wives and blueback herring, together are called river herring, travel up and try to get past the couple of dams here in Exeter. And it's a choke point. And when the herring are coming in, it's really spectacular because there's just tons of herring that move in. The stripers come up behind them. The great blue herons are eating them. The gulls are eating them. It's really just amazing.
It sucks to be a herring.
It sucks to be a herring. All the herring there, apparently, there are most of them are, I believe, alewives. That's the primary one. So we don't really get the bluebacks, but the alewives like to come in through Exeter. And so when I first moved there, I ran into this dude. And this dude was, he just kind of came out of the bushes, and he's like, "Hey, hi, my name's Jim, and how are you?" And I'm like, "Oh, yeah, this is great. I'm looking down here, and I'm seeing this area." He's like, "Yeah, this is a very good spot. And don't tell anybody, or I might have to do something." And so he basically threatened me.
So he called me.
Yeah, so then, exactly. I think I waited a year because I really was scared of Jim. I wasn't sure what was going
to
happen.
Well, when your name is River Jim, you have to be a little careful, a little cautious.
Well, the funny thing is I never see River Jim ever except during the herring run.
In the river.
And I've seen him for 7 years, 8 years in a row. Every year I go down, and sure enough, I went down there today, or Sunday, and I saw a bunch of herring. I actually did some cool videos. I'll post those on fishnerds.com. And I'm walking down the river, and there's River Jim sitting there in a chair with a camera on a tripod just sitting there. And so, you know, we caught up. We did our annual catch up, and the guy's got a big passion. Turns out his family can be traced back to that exact mill. Like his great 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 grandfather or something owned a mill down there. But he's the unofficial river keeper down there, I believe.
It's a good job.
It is a good job. And we need, now that we've got this call out feature working, we'll have to get him on the show too.
We'll have to. Yeah, there's a lot of people we need to get on the phone now.
Yeah, exactly. So
but River Jim, while he's in the water too. So it'd be really fun to hear that phone get dunked when he catches a fish.
That'd be awesome. So River Jim, the herring are in. Check out the videos on fishnerds.com. They're awesome. So
cool.
So now we're moving to the quest updates. Clay, quest you went
updates.
Out, right?
Yeah, and for those who are new to the podcast or new to the quest, Dave and I have been on several quests now for several years. The first quest was a one-year quest to catch and eat every kind of freshwater fish in New Hampshire. We're now on year two on that quest, almost three. So, but we don't care. We keep moving on. And the other quest is we're on a quest to fish all the dams, active dams in New Hampshire, and fill our dam bellies while we're at it. So those are our two quests, plus just trying to catch a fish. So we have about six or eight fish left on that first quest, and the fish we're really hunting right now because it's spawning season are long-nosed suckers. So I've been dry, and they live in a different watershed than I live, so I have to drive 45 minutes to a different river to hunt these fish, which happens to be at the base of Mount Washington. It's a beautiful spot. And so I drive all the way up there, and it's a long drive, and I leave at like 5 in the morning because if I leave later, then my kids talk to me, and I can't go anywhere. And I listen to NPR, which normally is okay, but on Sunday mornings at 5 in the morning, all it is the BBC. And I'm pretty sure the BBC is trying to kill me. They're just trying to make me so tired I can't drive anymore because they just drone on and on with their terrible accents and reading poetry and horrible things and interviewing people with accents I can't get over. Just, and I'm sorry to sound this, I'm such a redneck, but I just can't take it. They put something funny on at 5 in the morning. Then through the morning.
Make you drive into a tree.
Oh, I can't even know what we were talking about. They just talk. So.
Well, you know, that's the BBC, so.
It is. But I drove all the way up there. I put my waders on, and there were turkeys everywhere spawning.
Turkey spawning? No, they don't call it.
Spawning?
No, they don't call it spawning.
I only talk fish. So the turkeys were doing it.
Nice.
Yeah, and that was fun. So I grabbed my spear, because you can spear suckers, and I hiked down to the river where the fish are supposed to be, and there was ice. Ooh. All over the place. So the water should be about 42 degrees for sucker spawns, for long-nosed suckers. And with ice there, I was pretty sure the thing was colder than that. But I went in the water and hiked around a little bit, saw no signs of life, and decided to head to another place just to spear a sucker for fun. So white suckers are spawning in a pond, lake, about 45 minutes south of there, called Lake Chicora, which happens to be under the most photographed mountain in the world, Mount Chicora.
Nice.
So Just Google it, you'll find it. And or you can go to fishnerds.com and see pictures.
Which just wait, one side note, pause.
Yes.
One of my favorite stories ever is you creating the ugliest fishing shack ever created and putting it at the base of Mount Chicora, which is the most photographed mountain. So that year, anybody who came by in the winter to take this picturesque, beautiful picture of Mount Chicora got your ugly shack.
Ugly, with a tarp roof.
Tarp roof, all this stuff. You build everything out of the dump. And anyway, I thought that was... Yeah,
it was a great shack.
you were photobombing before it was called photobombing.
Before I ever heard of it.
I know.
But here's the thing. So I had my kids with me for that second part of the trip. And we went down to the lake, and there were suckers spawning everywhere. I mean, they were just getting together, these little groups. And if you don't know this, white suckers need at least three together to spawn, menage a trois. Although I saw more than that happening. I don't want to talk about it because I don't want to embarrass any of them. But there were at least three in a pile. And the way it works is the female, which is much bigger than the male, she parks herself right in a good spot. And the males swim up on either side. They kind of beat her with their fins and their caudal fin and stuff. And apparently she likes that. And she drops a bunch of eggs. And then the two males on either side go nuts in a cloud of milt. And you see this happening like crazy. It's so cool. And then the rainbow trout come in and eat all the eggs.
Yep.
that's the circle of life.
Wow. Short circle.
Short circle. So I was out there. I had a spear. And my three-year-old wanted to come out with me. I had waders on. I don't have waders for my three-year-old because she's three.
Right.
So I put her on my shoulders and I wade out there. And the suckers, I have probably a 6.5-foot spear. And we're in a lake. In a river, the suckers are tight together. You can spear them easy. But in this lake, you go near them and they just take off another 5 feet from you. You just can't get to them.
Yeah.
So finally, Sammy's on my shoulders. A bunch of tourists pull up to take pictures of the mountain because that's what happens. I start telling them all about fish nerds and what I'm doing. And then they say, why don't you get one of those things? So I threw the spear into a group of spawning suckers, and I about sliced one of them in half.
Ah!
I got one. I got him on the first throw.
Wow.
And then I felt bad because I stabbed a poor fish, and it looked like it really hurt.
Yes. And that's got to be some kind of parenting award, by the way, to be doing that with your three-year-old on your shoulders.
I'm a hero.
Yeah. That's awesome.
Anyway, so I filleted it and put it in the freezer because I don't believe in killing fish for nothing. So we'll be eating that at another event sometime, hopefully.
Wow. Congratulations.
And you went sucker hunting too, right, Dave?
I did. I went creek chub sucker hunting.
Creek chub sucker hunt.
Creek chub suckers. Now, we feel bad about the creek chub suckers. So it's one of the eight that we haven't caught yet. Mm-hmm. And it's the Rodney Dangerfield of fish because
no respect.
And we even pointed out that when they named it, they were like, oh, it looks like a creek chub, looks like a sucker. Yeah, let's just call it a creek chub sucker.
Who cares? No one's ever going to see him anyway.
That's right.
It looks like bait.
So the creek chub sucker, I went out looking for them. And what's neat is I bought an underwater camera and was able to do some scouting, and I found a school of little fish in this spot that New Hampshire Fish and Game had caught creek chub suckers before using a net, and there they were on the video. I can see a school of them, and I did some Google researching, and it turns out that yes, the young school up, but the adults are solitary, except obviously during spawning season, they're not solitary.
And they're not as fun as the white suckers when they spawn, are they?
No, they're just one-on-one, you know.
Boring.
Yeah, very
pure. Also get married.
Very Puritan. Jeez, prudes.
Yeah. But
anyway, so I went out Sunday, and I put on the smallest hook that we have, which is a number 32, which is about half the size of a grain of rice.
Teeny
tiny. And tried to get these schooling juveniles to eat it, and they won't eat it. And I did some research, and it turns out that they eat like copepods and all these small little plankton, and that's
well
what
on a hook
feeding.
That size. Can you get a scud on it?
I can easily get a scud. I think I need to get like a water flea or something. I don't know. It's going to be really tricky. But these young ones just won't do it. So I'm hoping like every week these things are getting bigger. And hopefully I'll time it right so I can get them while they're big enough as they switch, because the adults eat insects and eat stuff that you can hook. And so I need to get them right when they transition. So,
well, get them.
I know. I'm on them. So,
and report back.
Yeah. So anyway, the quest gets very, very tough here at the end, but we will not give up. So that's the quest update.
That's the update. And speaking of updates, if you want to see the fish nerds in person, we'll be making an appearance at Tin Mountain Conservation Center on April 30th at 7 p.m. You can just go to our website and you'll see updates on that, or our Facebook page to see an update there. It should be a good event, 1 hour with us, and includes eating a unique fish of some sort. We won't tell you what it is because we don't know.
But it'll be unique, I'm sure of it.
But come support us. It's a nice gig. Tin Mountain up in Albany, New Hampshire's beautiful facility. And check it out. It'd be really great.
That's awesome. And fishnerds.com is building and building every day. We're adding new stuff to it all the time. So our podcast feed, probably by the time you're listening to this, has been picked up by you, or iTunes.
iTunes. We're famous.
We are famous. And you know, it's just going to get bigger and bigger. So be sure to check out and bookmark and subscribe to fishnerds.com.
And remember, we troll the internet, so you don't have to.
All right. See you next week.
Bye.
All right, bye.
See ya.
If you're in business, you probably have a website, but can your site handle your growth? How many visitors before your site slows down or crashes? What about storage and data security? From web hosting to virtual servers, Pear Networks provides the online infrastructure you need to start, grow, and flourish. When it comes to security and updates, don't worry, we've got you covered. Our 24/7 US-based customer support is the best in the industry. No frustrating chatbots or sitting on hold for hours. Check out pear.com today to learn more. That's PAIR.com.
Ever tried reading while jogging, cooking, or even juggling flaming torches? Yeah, doesn't end well. But with audiobooks.com, you can conquer books without the circus act. Dive into over 450,000 titles, including more than 10,000 free ones. Get hooked on a bestseller, find your next obsession, or finally read that classic you've been avoiding since high school. And here's the inside scoop. Sign up today for a free 30-day trial and snag your first three audiobooks on the house. Sign up for your free trial at audiobooks.com/podcastfree today. That's audiobooks.com/podcastfree.